Welcome back in. Third and final hour of the Todd Bromelkamp Show coming your way on KGYM. Big show already in the books. If you missed anything today, podcast available at KGYMradio.com. One more reminder, we are headed to Mulligan's on Thursday. The KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire returning. Very excited about that. Not as excited to talk about Iowa State's basketball game last night. But with us now, as we've been reminding you all day, Brent Bloom, CycloneFanatic.com. And Brent, what the hell happened last night?
You know, if you just Texas was just better in every facet, and they got a fantastic performance from Mo Bamba, who I think at 22, 13, and 3, and he was the best player on the floor, and there was a reason why he's going to be a top five pick in the draft in June. But Iowa State just got outplayed, and you know, it's tough life on the road in the Big 12, as we've come to know. And when Iowa State only makes, I think they ended up with, you know, 6 threes on the game, just hard to win. They need the three ball to be better than it was. It was okay. It wasn't horrible, but it just not enough ways to score in other ways for Iowa State right now against a really good defensive team in Texas, and that's what happened. You end up losing by 15.
So how does this team get off of riding the roller coaster? I mean, you have the highs. You beat number 8 Texas Tech over the weekend. This is a low. How do they stabilize things at this point?
You know, I think it's just going to be really tough this year, and it's the case for everybody in the Big 12. It's just going to be a roller coaster type of season. And, you know, Iowa State doesn't do one thing so well that they can ride out and be consistent. They're just kind of going to be up and down depending on, I mean, the basketball, we can make it really complicated. At the end of the day, you got to shoot it, and you got to prevent the other team from shooting it well. And right now, Iowa State's kind of on that roller coaster depending on how well they do both. Either they defend or they don't. And, you know, Texas is not a great three-point shooting team, and they had Kerwin Roach hit 4 of them last night. Mo Bamba hits 2 of them. And, you know, you'd hate to say you're just dependent on the other guy, but in a way, it's kind of the way it is. Iowa State is not good enough as a drive into the basket free throw team that they can win just making 6 threes. And so it's a little bit dependent on shot making, and it's just the nature of the Big 12. I mean, look at West Virginia, who's, I still think, probably a top 2 or 3 team in the Big 12. They go on the road and just get drilled by TCU last night. So it's going to be that type of year, and it's hard for Iowa State to really get any type of role, I would guess. It's going to be up and down, and an interesting break in the schedule with a ranked Tennessee team coming to Ames in a SEC Big 12 challenge on Saturday. But I'm afraid from all the way until March, it's going to be up and down, a bumpy road.
Cameron Lard's really been playing pretty well lately. I think he had 10 points at the half, but then he finishes with only 12. What happened with him in the second half there?
Yeah, I think they just devote a little more attention to him. And, you know, Mo Bamba has a 7-foot, 6-inch wingspan, and Cam just struggled to get his shot attempts up over Bamba. And, you know, he has been really good, though. You're right, Kyle. And I think that's the exciting part for Iowa State. And, you know, it's part of this roller coaster, though, is you're dealing with freshmen. I mean, I think Iowa State's two best players are freshmen right now, Wigginton and Lard. You know, Nick Weiler-Babb would have an argument as well, but those two have been a little bit of a roller coaster themselves, and Lard especially in one half to another. So that's kind of what you get. He struggled a little bit. He was really good in the first half. I thought about even stepping out and making 12, 14 footers, which is encouraging, and getting by Bamba with some quickness. But, you know, when Bamba has his attention, Bamba's really good. So, yeah, I think Lard will continue to get better. And he was a co-newcomer of the week in the Big 12 last week. I think he'll win a couple more of those going forward. He's a really good piece, and just hope that he stays the course and, you know, stays focused, because I think there's much better things ahead for him and for this Iowa State team. Maybe not necessarily this year, but in the years beyond.
You brought up Wigginton in there. He's been scoring really well all year, but as of last week, he had become pretty efficient in his scoring, not so much against TCU and Texas Tech. So I'm curious, from what you see, what is the difference between the efficient Lindell Wigginton and the inefficient Lindell Wigginton?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think for him, it's just a matter of staying patient and getting shots within the offense. And you saw it against Texas, where Iowa State was a little laboring to get things going in the half court, and a lot of times that falls into Lindell and Nick Weiler-Babb to just force something. And right now, Wigginton is not great at that. I think he will be a really good off-the-dribble guy if you give him a year in the gym to really focus on that. But I think he's better when he's within the offense on the wing, catching and then going to the rim, or catching and shooting from three, where he's not quite developed of. If the shot clock's winding down, trying to force something up there, he's got the athletic ability to do it. He just has to do it in against elite competition, like against Texas. They're really good defensively, and I think he has struggled at times as well against a length inside, as as he goes inside the paint. But he'll get better and better. And he's also a guy that I think the ceiling is crazy high for him. So if they can keep those two together, that's a really nice tandem moving forward. But as a freshman in the Big 12, you've even seen it with Trey Young against some of those really good defenses. It's not as easy as it was in the non-conference.
Brent Bloom with us from CycloneFanatic.com, looking back on Iowa State's loss last night at Texas. Tennessee is up next. We'll get to them in just a bit. But Steve Prohm has talked about looking for an X factor on this. Is there a guy on this roster right now that could be that X factor player for the Cyclones on a consistent basis?
And that's the challenge, Todd, is I don't know if they really have one right now. And they've tried different pieces, and none of them are really fit. I mean, right now they're trying, I think, Zoran Talley as that X factor piece. He's played okay the past couple of games, but he's a 6'7" wing player who can't shoot the three ball. And so that really limits your ability to spread the defense out. And, you know, what Iowa State did so well under Hoiberg in the first 2 years under Prohm is they had those mismatched fours, a guy like a George Niang or a Deontay Burton, that would force the big guy to come out and guard, and then that spreads the floor for everybody else. Where this team doesn't really have that. I mean, they've had to play two traditional bigs a lot with Lard and Young and Brace, and then Talley's supposed to be that kind of that X-factor guy, and he can't shoot. So he's a little limited for what defenses pay attention to him for. And so they're just kind of caught. I think they're almost – I talked about this with a couple pals of mine at Cyclone Fanatic. They're almost like a guy short. Like, they could use one more, that 3-4 wing guy that can step out and shoot the three. And then I think that could be a piece that could really put this team over the top. But they don't have that, and Jeff Beverly hasn't been the answer. They thought he might be. He hasn't been. And so they're just short about a guy. And I think that's what has led to some of the inconsistencies throughout the Big 12 conference play, especially.
If you took Iowa State and Iowa and merged the rosters together, you may actually have a pretty good Division I basketball team. But
Can we do that? Is that allowed? Like, could just, you know, maybe get a trade?
Dogs and cats, oil and water.
You know, Iowa City Ames University.
Let's talk Tennessee here. This is sort of interesting. The Big 12 SEC Challenge, right smack dab in the middle of Big 12 conference play. It's a top 25 Tennessee team coming to Hilton Coliseum this weekend. What do you see when you look at the Vols?
You know, the familiar for Iowa State and the head coach is Rick Barnes. A lot of people forget that Rick left Texas after, gosh, he was there for 15 years and then took the Tennessee job. And he's done a nice job of rebuilding them to a top 25 team. Not only are they in the top 25, but their RPI is 11 right now. So they've won, and they've done it against pretty much everybody. And the SEC, I'm still not sure about the talent level in that conference. I know Kentucky's got talent, and Florida should be better than they have been. But Tennessee's right there with the rest of them. So, I've watched them maybe once or twice, and really good offensive team, a bunch of, you know, wing slasher types, but they can also step out and shoot it as well. So I think it's going to be a really entertaining game, potentially some high scoring affair in Ames. And Tennessee's a real test. I think they have surprised a lot of people when that game got scheduled. Probably not the flashiest SEC team, but that's a significant test. But I think it's one Iowa State can get and potentially get another top 25 win in Hilton. And now, while the NCAA tournament is probably out of reach at this point, that'd be a nice little feather in the cap and for Iowa State to build a postseason resume of some kind. And you never know. I mean, another top 25 win. They've already got one against Texas Tech. And, you know, Baylor is kind of flirting around the RPI top 25 for a bit there. So at least it'd be a nice win on the resume. But Iowa State still has some significant work to do to think about even the NIT at this point.
Brent Bloom with us for just a few more minutes from CycloneFanatic.com. You brought up the NCAA tournament. We were having a conversation last week on the program. How do you think the state of Iowa should handle the NCAA tournament this year? Because right now, it's looking like the state, at least on the men's side, may go 0-for.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of brutal, really. After we've had a pretty good run in the last, what, 5-6 years of, well, Iowa State's made it every year, and then Iowa's made, what, 4 out of the 6? And then you and I, of course, has been pretty consistent over there with Ben Jacobson. That's maybe the most surprising to me is how much they've dropped off in what I thought would be a down year for the Valley. But it's just going to be weird. It's going to be a weird March. It's like, what do we do now? Do we just focus on spring training baseball or, you know, talk about spring football? It's interesting at Cycle Fanatic, we have metrics on what articles get read. And right now, anything football is getting almost twice the traffic of basketball. So it's odd for Iowa State's history over the last decade how basketball has kind of been the driver. And now the attention is a little bit towards football. But I think that'll change. It's just, probably won't impact things by March, and I guess there's a more time to golf for me.
I said if the state goes 0-for, we have an NCAA tournament watch party, and we just turn it into like an Irish funeral, where everybody just comes together and drinks and mourns the loss of the basketball season. Let's talk a little football, though, while we've got you. Iowa State still riding high off that Liberty Bowl win. What's the latest with Matt Campbell's crew?
Yeah, they're still pretty pumped up, and obviously off-season conditioning already going on. And it's weird with that signing day now being in December. I think they've got just two spots left for February, whatever it is, the first week of February. So most of that work's done on the recruiting front. And actually 90% of the staff's time right now is being spent on the 2019 class. But they did have one guy come in who they're pretty excited about over the weekend, a quarterback out of Arizona who would be in this current class, Brock Purdy. And he just got an offer from Alabama as well. So got to fight off Saban. But he was in Ames for the basketball game on Saturday. And Cyclones feel like they have a pretty good shot at him. Gatorade Player of the Year in Arizona. Kind of under-recruited, but then blew up his senior season. And now he's got some big names after him. But Iowa State has a chance. So that's something to keep an eye on the football front. Should know probably in the next week or so where Brock Purdy will be going for his education in college.
We can't leave you without asking you what's going on in the NBA, since you're one of the 13 people in the state that pays attention to it. What's your favorite storyline right now?
Oh, so much drama right now. I don't even know where to start. The Clippers and Rockets feud is pretty good, because anytime you can get Chris Paul going after his old teammates, and Chris Paul knowing that Blake Griffin is the best player on the Clippers, but saying it's Lou Williams' team, that was a nice little subtle shot there. And then my favorite right now, guys, is probably it's under the radar a little bit, but Enes Kanter, who continues to take shots at LeBron James, even though he's a nobody. So that's kind of out of my playbook, so I appreciate Enes.
You bring up LeBron, I've got to ask you about the Cavs. Everybody thought they were just going to waltz through the East. They're really having some problems right now. What would you do if you're the Cavs?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're a little limited because they can't guard anybody. So what do you do? I mean, they may trade for DeAndre Jordan, speaking of the Clippers, but I don't know if you want to mortgage your future for a pretty average offensive player right now in Jordan, who's kind of in the end of his athletic days. So we'll see what they do. I honestly think if I had to pick right now, I think the Celtics are the favorites to win the East. But, LeBron is always LeBron. I'm sure he'll figure out a way to do it. But right now, they can't guard us three, probably 3-on-5. Well, maybe they could guard Todd. I should take that back.
And I think that's a good place to end it. Brent Bloom, CycloneFanatic.com. We love catching up with you, Brent. Appreciate it, as always. Thanks.
All right, fellas. Take care.
Iowa State taking on Tennessee this weekend. And, yeah, there is a rumor that a certain someone may be back in the Hawkeye State for that contest. It's unconfirmed. Rumors are unconfirmed right now, but Tyler Rider may be at Hilton Coliseum this weekend for the Big 12 SEC Challenge. And we talked the other day with John Walters. Iowa State has had some bad draws in that challenge. And, they get a top 25 team in Tennessee coming to Hilton Coliseum this weekend. We'll have it for you right here on 1600 AM, the Cyclone Radio Network. We're going to step aside for just a little bit. We come back, Kyle's going to have another big board update for you and a whole lot more as the third and final hour of the Todd Brolecamp Show continues on right here on KGYM. Back after this. The KGYM Road Trip comes to you live with the Todd Brolecamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's your chance to hang out while we're broadcasting and get your hands on some swag from the gym and other prizes. Want to know when it's happening? Find the road trip schedule at KGYMradio.com. The KGYM Road Trip, live from Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road across from Elmcrest Country Club. Driven by Linder Tire Service. Linder Tire keeps you rolling during all your road trips. Visit LinderTire.com for great tire and service specials.
The quality of the product that we are offering is going to be much higher than at a box store. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. We are HP sales and service authorized, and we're able to get better products that clients will be able to use. It will last longer in their business. I can sell a laptop that will come with a 3-year warranty because it's a higher quality.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Simplify supper and warm up winter. Order Happy Joe's in Cedar Rapids. Happy Joe's has the biggest large pizza in town to fill up the whole fam. And you can save some dough with Happy Joe's hot deals at HappyJoesCR.com. While you're there, sign up for Happy Joe's VIP Club too. for exclusive offers and to earn points towards a free pizza. Go to HappyJoesCR.com and order your favorite pizza online from Happy Joe's 2 Cedar Rapids locations. Delivery or carryout available.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
620, welcome back in the Todd Brolkamp Show. Happy to report that things are looking good for the Hawkeyes early on at Carver Hawkeye Arena. A 9-0 run to start the game in Iowa, running the Badgers out of the building. They were on their feet. The fans were on their feet at Carver Hawkeye Arena at the under 12 timeout. Looking good out there so far, at least from what we can see.
They look really good. The first thing that we're seeing is that Wisconsin is pretty bad offensively. They're turning the ball over. But I was getting out in transition, looking pretty good. And Maishi Daly doing a lot of the ball handling in transition. He looks pretty smooth.
They also, according to social media reports, have broken out the burrito lift early at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Ooh. So let's not get too overconfident. But it's 21-9 right now as Iowa having no problems with Wisconsin. They were favored in this game tonight. It's a game that they should win, and we'll see whether this holds up. But I don't even think Bo Borowski can get in the way of Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes the way that they've looked in the first couple minutes tonight. Kyle's got a Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you right now. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa men are hosting Wisconsin right now. It's the league's weakest offense in Wisconsin against the league's weakest defense. And so far, Iowa forced the Badgers, as Todd said, to start 0-9 from the floor. While the Hawkeyes took a 9-0 lead, they now lead 23-11 with about 9 minutes left. The Iowa football program announced today that Derek Foster would become the team's 10th assistant coach in accordance with a new policy recently passed by the NCAA. Foster has coaching experience at Valdosta State, Tennessee, Northwestern State, and most recently Samford, and has spent time with running backs and receivers. The Iowa State men dropped one on the road at Texas last night, 73-57, mostly at the hands of likely future top five draft pick Mo Bamba. The 6'11 freshman had a season-high 24 points, including going 2-for-2 from three, along with 12 boards, 3 blocks, and 2 steals. He played a big part in holding the Cyclones to under 40% from the floor as they fall to 2-6 in the Big 12. Iowa Wrestling's freshman Spencer Lee upset the formerly top-ranked Nathan Tomasello of Ohio State over the weekend, and that has him up to number 3 at 125 in today's new rankings and named the Big Ten Wrestler of the Week. If you're still with us right now, then we know it's either on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, or 107.5 FM North Gym, because right now we've got Alex Kuhn on the call for Iowa City West and City High on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. When we're done here, we'll pass things off to Scott Unash for Linmar hosting Cedar Falls, and then after that, we'll play back the Cyclone Call-In Show exclusively on 1600.
Yeah, I don't want to be the wet blanket here, but man, Wisconsin looks awful. You got to give credit to the Hawkeyes, but Wisconsin looks every bit as bad as we thought they were coming into this game. And Greg Gard has his hands full. That we talked with Evan Flood from 24/7 Sports. They're going through the same issues in Madison that the fan base is in Iowa City. They're not happy about the way that the team is playing, and Greg Gard is starting to take some heat for it. Fran McCaffrey starting to take some heat from the Iowa fans. Someone's seat is going to get just a little bit cooler tonight, and so far so good for Fran McCaffrey. Now, I've got good news for fans of a certain NFL offensive coordinator. According to CBS Sports, Matt Patricia, who's the defensive coordinator for the New England Patriots, and everybody knows this, it's the world's worst kept secret, is going to be the next head coach of the Detroit Lions. He has reportedly secretly met with several members of the Lions defensive staff that worked under former coach Jim Caldwell, the former Iowa Hawkeye, and has told them, of course, their services will not be needed next season. Matt Patricia is a valuable, a bright defensive mind. Jim Bob Cooter, the offensive coordinator for the Lions, Peyton Manning's former backup quarterback at the University of Tennessee, is expected to remain as the offensive coordinator for the Lions under Matt Patricia. So I know there are a lot of people out there that are big fans of Jim Bob Cooter, partly due to his name. But it looks like, if you were Matt Patricia, how difficult would that be? you are trying to game plan for the Super Bowl. Granted, you've been there, done that, but it's still the biggest game of the year. You're working two jobs right now because your mind is on trying to win the Super Bowl and beating the Eagles, but you're also very much, even though you have not officially been hired yet, it's the world's worst kept secret, just as Josh McDaniels apparently is the next head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, you're also trying to get this Detroit Lions franchise in a position where you want it to be. And all these teams that are out there with head coaches in place, they can make hires right now. And Matt Patricia technically can't because he can't take the job until the Patriots season is over. It puts them in a tough position. Now, I suppose if you've got great connections and you want to work for Matt Patricia, you're going to tell all these other teams no. But I don't think I could do what he's doing right now, getting the Patriots ready for the Super Bowl while simultaneously preparing to take over as head coach of the Lions.
Kind of reminds me of Scott Frost when he got hired at Nebraska. He was preparing for a bowl game, but you pretty quickly heard a lot of news about him going out on the recruiting trail for Nebraska, getting a couple guys secured pretty early on.
Speaking of recruiting, as we mentioned, Matt Campbell, the Iowa State football coach, and Iowa assistant football coach Reese Morgan, both expected to be at the game, the high school basketball game that you will hear on KGYM tonight on 1600 AM, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Cedar Falls is at Linmar tonight. Cedar Falls has a very talented football prospect, and Matt Campbell and Reese Morgan will be there checking in on him. Scott Unash is going to have the call from Linmar at 7:30 tonight. Don't forget, you can vote in our poll question at KGYMradio.com. Same one as yesterday. Are you excited about this year's Super Bowl pairing? Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. And about 65% of the vote right now, no. Come on. It's the Super Bowl. It's the Patriots, the team that everybody loves to hate, unless you're a Patriots fan, going up against the Eagles. Probably not a whole lot of intrigue there. Okay, I get it. But it's still the Super Bowl, and it's still the New England Patriots. They're probably going to win the damn thing. What are they, six-point favorites? Yeah. We got to spend a week and a half pretending like we're anxiously awaiting the Patriots and the Eagles. This would have been so much fun if the Vikings would have been in the game. Vikings fans, I was told yesterday it was too soon for you, that you were still coming to grips with the fact that the Eagles embarrassed you on Sunday and kept you from being the first team to ever play in the Super Bowl in your home stadium. When is it going to be time? When are we going to be able to have this discussion? Let me know on the Hurtin and Stocker text line, 319-366-1600. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on at Carver-Hawkeye Arena over the final 30 minutes of the program tonight. Big changes coming to the broadcast booth for both Sunday night baseball as well as possibly Monday night football. Remember, John Gruden no longer doing Monday night games now that he's the head coach of the Los Angeles, Oakland, Las Vegas, wherever the hell they play their games at. Raiders, Peyton Manning headed to a booth near you. Well, we know one thing. It's not going to be Jim Bob Cooter. We'll talk that and more coming up next. The Todd Brommelkamp Show continues on two of our three frequencies, 1600 AM and 107.5 FM, back after this.
So, Sarah, you know, one of the toughest things about being on tour, honestly, is sleeping in a bunk area with a bunch of guys that all snore. It's crazy. It's impossible. I love my beauty sleep. A night of snoring puts me in such a bad mood in the morning.
Your beauty sleep. I love it. You know, I've been listening to ESPN Radio enough to know that you should have told the guys to get a Zipa. It's estimated that 90 million people in the U.S. snore, which means there's tens of millions of people like you on the tour bus that didn't get to sleep at night because they sleep next to a snorer.
You don't have to put up with it anymore. Get a Zipa. It's so easy, and when you do, the snoring is gone.
Go to the Zipa website. You'll see hundreds of five-star reviews, even a news story about snoring devices, with Zipa being the only one that worked. So if you want to stop snoring, you need to get a Zipa. Don't be fooled by the knockoffs. Zipa's the only one with a patented tongue band. Go to ZYPPAH.com and get a Zipa. Easy to remember because Zipa is happy Z spelled backwards. Go to ZYPPAH.com. That's Zipa.com.
So, how do you like being a new dad?
Wow. No, it's,
amazing, right?
Totally, but expensive.
Get used to it. You got life insurance, right?
I've only got so much money.
What'd you pay for that coffee?
I don't know, a couple of bucks?
Listen, I'm 34, and I got $750,000 in life insurance for under a dollar a day. That's way less than you put out for that mocha latte.
Seriously? How?
I went to SelectQuote.com. They shop highly rated insurance companies to find your best rates.
Well, I need to protect my family. If SelectQuote can find me rates like that, that's one less thing to worry about.
Exactly.
Give your family the protection it needs at a price you can afford. To see how affordable life insurance could be for you, go to SelectQuote.com or call 800-747-6699. That's 800-747-6699. 800-747-6699. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Welcome back in. 6:31, final 30 minutes of the Todd Bromelkamp Show. Iowa up 10 on Wisconsin at Carver Hawkeye Arena. We'll break it down for you, win or lose, tomorrow on the program. Also, another $30 gift card to the Fieldhouse here in Cedar Rapids. You can find them on First Avenue. You can't go wrong with a quick, delicious lunch with coworkers, or you can swing by with those same coworkers after work for happy hour. $2 domestic pints and well drinks, $2.50 domestic bottles, $3 craft beer pints. Trying to do the math in my head. Yeah, $30 would go a long way toward picking up a lot of those things that I just listed off for you. We've got another $30 gift card. We're going to hook you up with that tomorrow on the program. 6 o'clock showdown around the corner for you. We got a lot of ground to cover. Plus, at 5 o'clock tomorrow, baseball is going to let everybody know who gets in the Hall of Fame along with Jack Morris and Alan Trammell this year. Speaking of baseball, it's big news announced today by ESPN. There is an opening, rejiggering, if you will, of the Sunday Night Baseball broadcast booth. Alex Rodriguez is coming aboard as the main color commentator. They needed to replace Aaron Boone, who was hired to manage the New York Yankees, so it's one Yankee for another. Jessica Mendoza is going to stay as the other color commentator, and then Matt Vasgersian of the MLB Network, a longtime San Diego Padres broadcaster, will be the lead play-by-play voice. Buster Olney remains as the quote-unquote sideline reporter. Here's the thing. I'm fascinated by this because people have very strong opinions about Alex Rodriguez. But, and so I'm certainly one of them. I was not a fan of Alex Rodriguez. I think he has been proven time and time again that he thought he was above the game, and he was caught cheating with drugs and continued to do it after he, I mean, that takes some hubris. I disliked Alex Rodriguez, and then he started working for Fox Sports during the postseason, and as an analyst, he's really good.
Pretty damn good.
And so this is a first-of-its-kind deal. He's not leaving Fox to go work for ESPN. He's going to work for ESPN during the regular season, and then he's going to work for Fox during the postseason. Is there? I don't think there's a case out there where an athlete that people hated has sort of been able to transition to the broadcast booth and win fans over the way that Alex Rodriguez has. Because I know I'm not the only one out there that really disliked him as a player who sees him and hears him doing TV work, and especially as an analyst, and says, this guy's good. I would listen to Alex Rodriguez do a game and have no issues with it.
It really is one heck of a comeback, too, because he was you definitely weren't the only one, and it's not even like there was a small group of people who didn't like him a little bit. There was a lot of people. He was essentially banished from baseball for a couple years, and here he is, you know, getting, like you said, a one-of-a-kind deal. He's gone from banished from baseball to getting superstar treatment as an analyst. It really is pretty impressive.
It's a good time to get in on the ground floor of A-Rod Corp if you can. Now, there's a little bit of football news today as well, because with John Gruden leaving the Monday Night Football booth to take over the Raiders again, who's going to be the main color commentator for Monday Night Football. This is surprising to no one, at least not to me anyway, but it was reported by a couple media outlets today. ESPN, a representative of ESPN, says they've reached out to Peyton Manning. Is that not the most natural choice? I mean, everybody, if you want to talk about the opposite of A-Rod, whether or not it's warranted or not, everybody loves Peyton Manning, right?
Yeah.
Who doesn't like Peyton Manning? 319-366-1600. He's the most likable guy out there. He's funny. Saturday Night Live skits, all of that good stuff. I think that would be a natural choice if he wants to do it. Now, depending on what you believe, what you read, what you've been told, he may or may not want to get into politics. And I think if he wants to get into politics, he's probably going to turn down being on a Monday Night Football broadcast crew, because anytime you run for office, you put yourself in a position where you're saying things publicly, every little thing can be used against you. So he may want to lay low if that's the case. But I think for a sport that is struggling to pull people in or pull people back in for a number of reasons,
especially on Monday,
and especially Monday night when those games are not terribly interesting, I think Peyton Manning could possibly do that. I think, now, I've never heard him as a color commentator. I've heard him doing other things on television, but I think he's got that engaging, leading personality where he can be funny and insightful. He certainly knows the game. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback, will be a Hall of Fame quarterback when he's eventually inducted. What could go wrong here, right?
I think you're right. He's definitely got the personality. We've seen him be funny before, and like you said, he you know, in his time as a quarterback, they always said, you know, he's basically a coach. He knows everything. And I think one of the reasons that it, you know, it just feels like such a good idea is a little bit of the residue of the success that Tony Romo had. You know, just in his first year, he's calling out plays, and everybody seemed to really get a kick out of that. I think you'd get a lot of the same sort of thing from Peyton Manning pre-snap.
You like Romo?
He came on really strong. You know, at the beginning of the year, they put out highlight tapes of him calling out plays before they happened. And maybe about a month in, you know, I realized he's doing that a lot. He's doing that a whole lot. But as the year went on, he did get a little better.
He strikes me as a little overeager. He's the kid in third grade who's jumping out of his chair with his hand. But it's honest enthusiasm.
Yep.
And I think that's very lacking in today's culture, whether you're talking about being a sports commentator or another walk of life.
That's like, exactly why Gruden was such a hit.
He loves doing what he's doing. And I think the interesting thing there with him will be is he gets further removed from playing the game and he doesn't know these guys anymore and some of the lexicon changes. Is he still going to be as plugged in and as knowledgeable as he seems right now? And I know there are people out there that don't like Tony Romo. I didn't necessarily care for him the first week or two of the season. I did think that he was trying too hard. Mm-hmm. And Jim Nance was kind of letting him get away with a little bit too much. I think he needed to rein him in. I watched I watched that game over the weekend. I love me some Tony Romo. I never thought I would say that, but as a commentator, he does a pretty good job of balancing the enthusiasm with the information that he's giving you. Now, he's got a little ADD to him. I think they could try to slow him down just a little bit.
Yep.
That enthusiasm is kind of like a little puppy. You sometimes think maybe they probably have to clean up the carpet after. I mean, yeah. You know what you get with Tony Romo, especially when he's and I know where people are coming. They felt like he was loving up on Tom Brady a little bit too much, but that's a former quarterback watching the guy who's probably the best ever quarterback do his thing. And from one professional to another, you respect that. I think that's what that was. That was Tony Romo saying, holy cow, mm-hmm. Look at this guy. But you know, people hate Tony Romo and they hate the Patriots. And when Tony Romo is doing a Patriots game, there's a lot of hatred to go around there. I think he's fantastic. And hopefully he continues to keep that enthusiasm moving. But I'm really excited about Alex Rodriguez doing Sunday Night Baseball, because I think he and Jessica Mendoza, and don't get me started on the people that don't like Jessica Mendoza, because I don't have an opinion on her. I'm not a huge fan of hers. I don't dislike her. She's good at what she does. She's not great. She's not terrible. But there are a lot of people out there that feel a woman doesn't belong in the broadcast booth. Who cares?
Yeah.
She knows baseball. She knows baseball better than a lot of guys do. So I'd be interested to see how she plays alongside Alex Rodriguez. And then Matt Vasgersian is, he's okay. I'm familiar with his work as the San Diego Padres TV guy, and I watch him virtually every morning on the Major League Baseball Network, and have been tuned into the Yu Darvish sweepstakes the way that a number of people have been. Still no updates there, but the Cubs yesterday signing Chris Giménez, who's Darvish's favorite catcher. But the Milwaukee Brewers have emerged as a team that's not only interested in Yu Darvish, but reportedly in talks with Derek Jeter and the Miami Marlins about outfielder Christian Yelich. And Jake Arrieta was tied to them earlier in the offseason. I don't think that those talks have gotten anywhere. But are the Brewers the team that the Cubs are going to need to worry about in 2018 in the National League Central?
I mean, they're decent. If they pull off a couple moves like that, I do really like Yelich. It sounds like they want a king's ransom for him, but there was a time when I wanted the Cubs to kick the tires on that one. And Darvish, I don't know how good he'll be over a 4 or 5 year contract, but at least for the first couple years, I mean, yeah, that'd give him a legitimate ace up there. And they're it's not like they're starting from scratch. They've got a decent starting point, and the Pirates are terrible. The Cardinals, we don't really know what we're going to get from them. So, I mean, there's really no reason to say that. Actually, no, now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, it's definitely the Cardinals or the Brewers.
I want to see the Cardinals make one more move before I'm ready to say that I'm shaking in my boots
right,
looking at those guys. And I think they've got one more move maybe up their sleeve. But bottom line, Milwaukee hasn't done anything yet. They haven't acquired the services of Yelich or Darvish or anybody else, really, for that
right,
for that matter. But
long way to go.
The fact that they're openly in talks intrigues me. I think they see a little bit of a window there. The Cardinals are kind of looking like a third-place team right now. The Reds are still a year or two away from taking that next step, and we've seen the Pirates just completely dismantle at this point. They traded Gerrit Cole. They traded Andrew McCutchen. They're not really getting anything back for either of those guys. I think the Brewers see an opportunity to make a move here in the National League Central. Whether or not they can get it done remains to be seen. Brewers fans, and I know we've got some Brewers fans out there, do you think it would be a good idea to basically start throwing money around this offseason to make a run at the Cubs in the Central? 319-366-1600. And stop me if you've heard this one before.
Yep, I was waiting. When was this?
Stop me if you've heard this one before. But the Hawkeyes have sort of started to spin their wheels with the Wisconsin Badgers. They're still on top. They're up 35-28. Wisconsin has the ball and is holding for the final shot to their final shot of the first half, most likely. It looked like it was going to be too easy for Iowa there the first 15 minutes of the game, did it not?
Yeah, you just had to know it wasn't going to go like that all night. And they might still eke out here with a, you know, depending how this possession goes, it could still be 10 points, but they went 2 minutes, and then a few minutes after that, they went 3 minutes without points. So they started out really good as I've seen them all year. But, you know, like you said, there have been periods here where they're got pretty stagnant.
So Iowa is going to take a 9-point lead into the locker room at the half. Hawkeyes up 37-28 on Wisconsin at Carver Hawkeye Arena. It is halftime. Tom Brokaw is in the house. They've already done the burrito lift. The second half should be something. Fran McCaffrey still in the game. That's an improvement over the last time that Bo Borowski worked as one of the three officials for an Iowa game. He last worked the Iowa-Maryland game. And as you said earlier, Maishi Daly has looked pretty decent at times getting out there running things for the Hawkeyes alongside Jordan Bohannon. So maybe Fran McCaffrey and the coaching staff have put their heads together and come up with a working solution for Iowa's problems. Now, as we said, Wisconsin comes in. They had their own set of issues. They've had injuries to deal with. They've underperformed this year. But the Hawkeyes were favored to win this game, and that is about, even though they did backslide a little bit there, that's about as dominant of a first half that I've seen them play easily in Big Ten play.
Oh, definitely since Big Ten play started. And, I mean, we kind of said it early on where Wisconsin really is pretty rough, but at least Iowa did what they were supposed to with those turnovers. They got out, did what they wanted. So, yeah, like you said, it's pretty much as good as they've looked since conference play started, so there can't be too much to complain about.
Oh, but there will be. And
it's a lot of basketball.
And we will listen to your complaints tomorrow on the program, I'm sure. 319-366-1600. Taking a look at the Hertine and Stocker text line, lots of people weighing in. There's more people out there that like Tony Romo than I was expecting to hear from tonight. And we've also got a couple Milwaukee Brewers fans out there that are saying, go for it.
Which Brewers fans?
Yeah, go for it.
I mean, might as well, because if you had started this offseason and said, hey, the Brewers are going to have a pretty realistic chance at winning the bidding for Yu Darvish, you'd have been like, no, they're not. So, I mean, and it'll be the same. It'll be the same way next year, next offseason, where the Brewers just kind of aren't really one of those teams who are often in on those big time guys. So if they've got a chance to get them, if I'm the Brewers, might as well.
They're young. And they've got a lot of talent in the minor leagues, and it's years away from making an impact at the big league level. And I think they'd probably be smart if they flipped some of those young guys. Now, it's going to take a fairly sizable return to get Christian Yelich in a Brewers uniform. And with Darvish, you're talking about the cash outlay. But they need to do something. And the Cubs, by the way, are going into the season looking like the prohibitive favorite in the National League Central, but this isn't the team 2 years ago that won the World Series. We saw that last year, and I think this year's team right now is probably on par with the 2017 Cubs. Maybe they've got another deal or two in place to make, but they're not invincible. They're not wearing bulletproof vests or anything, so kudos to the Brewers for doing what no other team in that division is doing. Now, we don't know what the Cardinals are doing behind the scenes, but they've made some moves this offseason. Marcell Ozuna, who, by the way, showed up on a fantasy baseball bust list I was reading earlier today, that, yeah, okay, guy has a career year. Don't expect him to do it again. That being said, he's putting on a Cardinals uniform, so I fully expect him to challenge Barry Bonds' single-season home run record or something. And Barry Bonds not likely to get into the Hall of Fame tomorrow, but we'll find out at 5 o'clock, and Alex and I will be talking about that. Alex, who, by the way, is calling Iowa City West and Iowa City High right now. It's a boys and girls doubleheader. You can hear it if you tune in to 106.3 FM, our South Gym frequency. We are on 107.5 FM and 1600 AM for the next 10 minutes or so. We appreciate you being along with us tonight. And we want to invite you out. We're going to have a good time on Thursday. We are going to be at Mulligan's here in Cedar Rapids. It is a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. A Thursday, the drink specials are going to include $2 tall boys, half-price domestic bottles, and half-price well drinks from 3 until 6. And then at 6 o'clock, half-price wings. That is at Mulligan's. On Thursday night, KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. Mulligan's is gearing up also. They have a chili cook-off this Saturday, January 27th. It begins at noon. You make your best pot of chili at home. Bring it in. They've got prizes for first, second, and third place. The annual chili cook-off this Saturday at Mulligan's. So they got a lot of stuff going on there, and I'm looking forward to having lunch there tomorrow and getting the lay of the land and seeing what's going on. So stop on out and join us. We get that question all the time. When are you guys going to do something in Cedar Rapids? We want to come and hang out, and we want to meet you guys. And the road trip has been in Iowa City for a really long time, and now it's going to be in Cedar Rapids. So this is an opportunity for you to come and let Mulligan's know that they're making the right decision by bringing the show there. Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road in Cedar Rapids, not too far away from St. Andrew's Golf Course, which, even though the snow has melted, is still not open for business just yet. We've got to wait another month and a half, 2 months for golf, right? 6:51, we'll step aside, take a quick break. We come back. Kyle's going to have your last Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the night. Iowa adding a 10th assistant football coach. He'll tell you all about it when we return after this.
Have you been to the Fieldhouse lately? Yeah, the Fieldhouse. You know, the one and only Hawkeye Bar in Cedar Rapids. The sports bar where the food never takes second place. The famous happy hour that everybody loves. That's the one, the Fieldhouse. Bring your buddies for lunch this week. Stop in and grab a table or order online at fieldhouse1stav.com. Give your lunch hour a shot of black and gold pride at the Fieldhouse on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with an 11% rebate on everything. Get an 11% rebate on all Delta faucets. The liquid bath faucet is only $88.11 after rebate. The overlying kitchen faucet turns on and off by touching the spout or handle. It's $283.02 after rebate. Stop waiting and start saving with an 11% rebate on everything now at Menards. Good through January 27th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Tennessee getting ready to come to Hilton Coliseum this weekend. We talked a little bit about it with Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com to kick off the third and final hour of the show tonight. If you missed that conversation, you can check out the podcast at KGYMRadio.com. But the Volunteers will put their number 22 record on the line tonight against Vanderbilt. That game is on ESPNU, so Iowa State fans, if you want to get a little bit of a scouting report on Rick Barnes's Tennessee Volunteers. You know what? That was a Freudian slip on my part, because everybody got a copy of Rick Brown's book about Chris Street, except for me last week, because I couldn't make it to the media availability, and then I didn't get a chance to go get one during the game on Saturday at Carver Hawkeye Arena. So everybody has Rick Brown's book except for me. I've got to work on that somehow. But Rick Barnes, the former Texas head coach, speaking of Texas, well, his replacement, Shaka Smart, kind of they took it to the Cyclones last night. Kyle will tell you about that and more on our final Midwest One Bank Big Board update tonight. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa men are hosting Wisconsin right now. It's the league's weakest offense in Wisconsin against the league's weakest defense. And so far, Iowa forced the Badgers to start 0-for-9 from the floor while they took a 9-0 lead. They now lead at the half 37-28. Isaiah Moss leads with 9 points while Luca Garza has 7 points and 6 boards. The Iowa football program announced today that Derek Foster would become the team's 10th assistant coach in accordance with the new policy recently passed by the NCAA. Foster has coaching experience at Valdosta State, Tennessee, Northwestern State, and most recently Samford, and has spent time with running backs and receivers. The Iowa State men dropped one on the road at Texas last night, 73-57, mostly coming at the hands of likely future top five draft pick Mo Bamba. The 6'11 freshman had a season-high 24 points, along with 12 boards, 3 blocks, and 2 steals. He played a big part in holding the Cyclones to under 40% from the floor as they fall to 2-6 in the Big 12. Iowa Wrestling's freshman Spencer Lee upset the formerly top-ranked Nathan Tomasello of Ohio State over the weekend, and that has him up to number 3 at 125 in today's new rankings, and also named the Big Ten Wrestler of the Week. If you're still with us right now, then we know it's either on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, or 107.5 FM, the North Gym, because right now we've got Alex Kuhn on the call for Iowa City West and City High over on 106.3 FM, the South Gym. When we're done here, we're going to pass things off to Scott Unash for Linmar hosting Cedar Falls, and then after that, we'll play the Cyclone Call-In Show exclusively on 1600.
So the Hawkeyes had an up-and-down first half against Wisconsin. They're up 37-28 right now. Do they hang on? Well, I think they do. We'll discuss one way or the other on the program tomorrow. This certainly is not going to change anybody's opinion about this team or this season, but somebody out there, I'm sure, if Iowa beats Wisconsin tonight, is going to start buying in and saying that this is going to be the start of a run. Well, the schedule plays against the Hawkeyes at this point. This is one of their best chances to pick up a win over the next couple weeks. It's looking good for Iowa. I don't want to necessarily completely put the jinx on the Hawkeyes. They still have to come out and play a final 20 minutes of basketball. Coming up on the program tomorrow, we'll talk Hawkeyes and Badgers, do a little bit of a post-mortem. I'm sure we'll hear what Fran McCaffrey has to say after the game. Also, it is Wednesday. That means a conversation with the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, Gary Rima. Looking forward to that. And the 6 o'clock showdown. I'm going to have a great prize for you. Also, a $30 gift certificate to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue here in Cedar Rapids. We've told you earlier today about their tremendous specials. We appreciate them hopping on board with us. I'm sure a lot of our Hawkeye fans who may be listening, maybe you tuned in, turned back over during halftime. Hawkeye fans probably have memories of the Fieldhouse. Well, maybe you can make some new memories at the Fieldhouse with a $30 gift certificate. That's the Fieldhouse on First Avenue here in Cedar Rapids. It's all coming up for you on the program tomorrow. Anything, what I missed today? Did I miss any big news today?
I don't think so. I mean, LeBron congratulated himself early this morning, but I don't really think that you're not a basketball guy.
I'm not really. I mean, we mentioned Kanan Storr, the 141-pounder at Iowa State, transferring, which is a big loss for the Iowa State wrestling program. That came out while we were on the air today, and I'm sure they'll have more on that tomorrow on the gym class. Got UNASH and Mark Dukes, who, by the way, they have their own great giveaway for you tomorrow on the gym class. And Kevin Dresser losing a major piece of the foundation he was hoping to build for that Iowa State wrestling program. They talked today with KJ Pilcher from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. If you missed that conversation, I highly recommend you swing by KGYMradio.com and download their podcast. While you're there, you can vote in our poll question. It's the same one as yesterday. Do you like this year's Super Bowl matchup between Philadelphia and New England? Yes or no? It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. You can find them on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Big thank you to Kyle for sitting in for Alex today. Alex will be back tomorrow. That'll do it for a Tuesday edition of the program. Talk to you later.
So, Sarah, you know, one of the toughest things about